Coming up on TMS, we give someone a brand new Wacom tablet today.
Why a fully dressed man at the gym is a bad sign.
The final medal count is up for interpretation.
Eating barbecue and fried food gives you brain problems.
Nerdtacular tickets are available, and Art from Justified thinks he's justified.
Bieber's new neighbors are not interested in seeing him.
Alec Baldwin is quitting everything.
Rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
Oh. Sucks.
It does.
Fitness geek.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab makes your hair look excitingly clean, disturbingly healthy. This man dared to use two dabs. Now he's in trouble. We refuse to be responsible.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream.
Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. Brill Cream, you look so debonair. Brill Cream, the gals will all pursue ya. They'll love to get their fingers in your hair.
It's a hit for the runner and for radio.
This is The Morning Stream. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Freaking Stream. Scott's a little crusty today. I don't know why. Just feeling a little... I'm feeling my oats a little bit. Oh, I know why.
Why?
I got a blood test back yesterday. Want to hear how that went?
Yeah, how'd it go?
I was nervous because they were like, oh, you got blood in your pee. We need to send that to the lab and make sure there's not some other problem.
Oh, my God.
This happened last time I was in. I think I didn't tell you about this.
No.
They were like, yeah, you don't want blood in your pee. It's never good, the doctor kept saying. Dr. Young, the guy from that road trip movie I told you about, he kept saying, it's never good. You don't want pee in your blood. If you got pee in your blood, it's never good.
Other way around.
Oh, what'd I say? Oh, if you got blood in your pee. You know what? Though, pee in your blood's probably just
as bad.
That's
probably not good either, yeah.
Now that you mention it. But it went on and on and on about this bad having the pee in your blood, or the blood in your pee, or whatever. What is it? Pee in your blood. No, blood in your pee.
Blood in your pee.
And said that now sometimes the test can be a little inconclusive that they do there. They do what they call the dipstick test. Which just sounds like the least medical thing you could ever call that.
Of course, yeah.
Why can't you call that like, oh, it's a hematological flumbluglite or something?
Right. You know what? They do the same procedure down at the Grease Monkey. I think I'd rather.
My buddy at Jiffy Lube knows exactly how to find out if there's pee in your blood or blood in your pee. Gosh. So anyway, he sends it to the lab, right? Definitive answers at the lab. Because he said, yeah, we see pee in your blood. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not good. So he sent it to the lab. He says, now they'll tell us for sure how much and what we need to do next. Now, usually this is a bad sign. If you have that, it's like, could be cancer, could be, I mean, I'm not expecting any of these things, but it could be a lot of things. Could be a perforation, could be some sort of ulcer in the bladder, could be a broken thing between kidney and wiener or something, right?
Right.
Super technical.
Yeah, oh yeah, it could be anything. Right.
It could be anything.
A blown gasket.
Sure, why not? And there are some people who just straight up have blood in their pee and they can't explain it, and there it is. Or pee in their, blood in their pee. Blood in their pee. It's not sounding right no matter which way I say it.
Think of it alphabetically.
Right.
Blood comes before pee.
Okay,
blood in your pee.
Blood before pee. It's a great novel, great American novel. So he sent it to the lab. I got results yesterday. Lady called, and I was a little bit stressed because she called at between 1 and 2, which is usually their lunch thing. You know how doctor's offices kind of shut down for lunch?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so, shut the whole thing down.
Yeah.
Like,
so she calls with this unknown number, and I don't pick it up because I'm in another call, and I'm like, well, whatever that is, it'll wait. But then I went, oh, maybe that was my result. So I call it back real quick. Or no, I check the voicemail, and she goes, this is so-and-so from Dr. Young's office. We have your lab results. Give us a call at ba-ba-dip-ba-doo, right? So I call her,
right.
And I get a voicemail that says, hello, you've reached the offices of Young, Smirnoff, and Butthole. We are currently closed for lunch and don't open till 2. I'm like, well, then where was she calling from? She called me at like 1:30. Where's she at?
She's at the Chick-fil-A.
She's at Chick-fil-A waiting for her freaking nuggets, her 9-piece.
I'll just take care of this right now.
There's breading in my pee. Anyway. So she says, So she says nothing because I can't get a hold of anybody. I'm like, all right, I'll wait until 2. I call back at 2. Let us send you back to the bath. I said, all right, great. They send me to somebody else's voicemail. So apparently they're tied up or they're at a late lunch or Chick-fil-A took longer than they thought or something. Mm-hmm. Then they, so nothing. I get a voicemail. Yeah, I'm just trying to get my results. So I'm getting nervous. Like, dude, you can't hang this over me. I got to know what's going on. And they're not going to tell me on a voicemail, right? Because they don't know who's going to hear it. It's all the, you know, privacy rules and all that.
Right.
So then, finally, get a hold of a lady later. And here's her answer on the phone. And I told my wife about this, and she was laughing her head off. Because this lady's just so dour. She goes, hello, this is Dr. Matt. And I go, yeah, I'm Scott Johnson. I was told I had some lab results. I just need to check. And she goes, oh, yes, they're here. And I'm like, oh, dude. Dude, she's so negative. What's going on? I'm feeling a bad vibe. And she goes,
oh, it's you.
And she goes, so she says, now let's see. All right. These lab results have returned. I'm like, I know that, dude. You told me during your lunch hour call.
Right.
And she goes, it appears that you were being tested for blood in the urine and the results have come back definitively that you do, in fact, not have any blood in your urine.
She's training for a reality show,
yes.
Right? It's, you know, it's like before the break, we asked our contestants to do such and such, and we said that one of them was going home, and the person going home is,
and then pause for effect and show bad edit cuts of people just staring at nothing, and then come back and have her hang. Exactly, that's what that felt like, and it was she was so negative about it, you would swear it was bad news. There's no blood in the pee. I'm like, and I got all excited. So anyway, my point is I'm feeling a little energized because there ain't no blood in the damn pee.
Good.
Because that was all false. It was some kind of false positive bull crap. It was some kind of weird thing, and there was never any in there. So the sample was good, and I'm happy, and everything's great. So
wait, there was never any in there?
There was never any blood in there. There was pee in there. There's definitely some pee in there.
Well, sure.
I generated it. But the
how funny, but they – but. So they made you go through all of that hell.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it hell, but yes, they made me wait 5 days between, you know, to get to the lab and wait for results because they're off. But this is a common thing I found out. Talk to a doctor buddy of mine. He says, yeah, that's not all that weird for the office to find things that aren't there or sometimes not find things that are there. Like it's the same thing. So this little preliminary test. So look, dude, if I'm bleeding out my wee-wee, like in tons and like a lot, it's going to see it in the office and it's going to confirm it at the lab. So
sure,
this was like small invisible trace amount plasma kind of whatever.
Okay.
And then, right. And so the lab needs to step in and go, well, let's do the hardcore Petri dish, whatever they do. I don't know what they do. They hold it in their urine stream. Somebody holds something over a toilet and pours it. I don't know what happens, but whatever they do it. And they finally told me, and I'm feeling a bit of relief because now that's nothing. So no second weirdness for me. It's just that was just like a weird misdirect, which I understand as a hunter in World of Warcraft. I understand that. So let's get to the business at hand. There's so much going on. Nerdtacular tickets are officially up and for sale right now. You can go to tiny.cc/nerdtacular. They opened at 8:00 this morning, 10 minutes ago.
Yay.
So get your tickets now. There are a couple of levels in there. We're not doing Kickstarter for these this year, but we are doing a bunch of packages for people that are, it's very similar. In other words, if you wanted to support it from afar but can't go, you still can, and you can get a lot of cool swag and stuff. That means shirts, that means prints. And there's a bunch being added all the time. You can find those at frogpants.com/store.
Swag bags.
There'll be a big post at nerdtacular.com today with links to all of this, and we'll break it all down so it's one place to go and you won't have to worry about remembering these URLs and things. But for now, to secure your tickets, if you are indeed attending, go to nerdtacular.com, or I'm sorry, go to tiny.cc/nerdtacular, and I'll get up, like I said, permanent links, super easy to remember, all that stuff soon. No one's going to kill each other trying to get tickets, so go get your tickets. Don't stress about them being sold out today. They won't be. You know, this is not how this works.
And this isn't BlizzCon.
No. If it does happen that way, then we'll be freaked out. But I can't imagine that that's how it's going to go.
Then we'll do it again the weekend after. We'll do two...
Yeah, exactly.
Sets of people.
Now, if you subscribe to the Frog Pants Mega feed, the podcast feed on iTunes or otherwise, then you already know this. If you don't, you can get it this way. But Corinne and I did a Q&A yesterday, kind of answering questions. Of course, that's the Q part. And the A part is what
and
we did.
And the A part, actually. Yeah. You ate the Q's.
Well, that stood for anus. No, it didn't. So we did all we did all of that, and we also did a video version of it, so you can see that on YouTube. All of that stuff is at nerdtacular.com. So you can get kind of the skinny on you know, the location again, what's going on there, kind of some preliminary stuff. People we know are coming for sure. There's still a lot of mystery about some of it. The schedule's not complete yet and some other things, but we're ahead of the game. This thing happens in July. We got time. Yeah. So anyway, you can go catch all that.
You know it's going to be damn good. You know.
It's
going to
be insane.
It's going to be damn good.
It's going to be insane. We have news about who we think it's this. I mean, it's a hair away from being confirmed, but this close to who you may have nabbed for the band this year.
Oh, I can say it's confirmed.
Can we say it out loud on the show?
Let's say it out loud right now.
Oh my gosh, we're going to announce it right now.
We're going to announce it right now.
Okay, hold on. We need something special for this. Hold on. Let me get a theme or something. We got to have something. Hold on.
Yeah.
It won't be appropriate necessarily. Okay, how about this one? Here we go. All right, here we go. Who's playing at Nerdtacular 2014?
So we've had we've had Paul and Storm, we've had John and Elio, we've had George Robb, we've had Same Sex Mary, we've had the Andrew Allen Trio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And aside from Svetlana in Same Sex Mary, it's just been a bunch of dudes up on stage.
A lot of dudes, right? Yeah.
Lots and lots of dudes.
A lot of man wiener.
We figured we needed some of the other perspective, the other gender.
Mm.
So I'm happy to announce that direct from Portland, Oregon, a pair of sisters, the Double Clicks will be performing at Nerdtacular 2014.
The Double Clicks, you guys.
The Double Clicks. It's basically the female Paul and Storm. I think even geekier than Paul and Storm.
Yeah. I'm not sure we're doing them any favors other than musically by calling them the girl versions of Paul and Storm.
Well, yes.
They're lovely. Storm are ugly dudes. And I love those guys, but they're a couple of moles on the armpit, if you know what I'm saying. Double Clicks are amazing, and they're just coming off that really great Kickstarter for their new album. And
their
star
is on the rise, so it's
get them while we can get them.
Ironic Man did have it pegged. He predicted this.
That's super exciting. I didn't know it was confirmed. Yeah. Confirmed.
It is confirmed. Confirmed.
All right. Well,
we don't have their name signed on a piece of paper, but I've got an email from them saying, yes, we're in. So
good.
That's confirmed.
That's
as good.
It's as perfect a fit as you could find. I cannot think of a better fit. It's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and of course we will still have, I shouldn't discount this, the Andrew Allen Trio. It might even be considered the Andrew Allen Quartet, because I think there are going to be four of them this year because of saxophone.
Great.
Or vocals.
Oh, really?
Yes, but this is, you're going to actually see the band. They will be doing
will they do that song?
Careless Whisper, right? Sure. You know what? I think they will.
I hope so, dude.
Yeah, so with all the fanfare of the Double Clicks, I don't want to bury the fact that the Andrew Allen Trio is going to be performing. And this is going to be a brand new Andrew Allen Trio. This is the same band that is doing the album. So who you hear on the album that we'll be announcing soon will be who you hear live at Nerdtacular 2014. So it is
that is great.
It is a great double bill. It is a fantastic double bill.
Yeah.
And there'll be science fiction. There'll be superheroes. There'll be Game of Thrones talk. There'll be all that stuff going on stage with music.
I'm pretty stoked. So let's make it happen. Thank you, Double Clicks, for being there. Nobody wants no single clicks. We want Double Clicks. I still think it's one of the best band names ever in our modern era.
I agree.
So they're such a freaking perfect fit. And you know what I'm excited about? I haven't even, this is not even a thing that we've done yet, but my daughter's art style, she is going to do, just for funsies, an awesome portrait of those two.
Oh, perfect.
Because
yes.
She loves those guys, and it's so dead perfect for her style. She'll just nail it. So anyway, very exciting stuff. That's great news. I have more great news.
All right.
I mean, after all this pee in the blood story, how can we go much worse than giving away a Wacom tablet right now? Right now, we do that.
Right the second?
We finished the contest. It went from last Tuesday to this morning, which is also Tuesday. Tuesday to Tuesday. That's one Earth week, everybody. 7 Earth days have gone by. You guys all entered. We had hundreds and hundreds, maybe close to 1,000 entries for the Wacom tablet, courtesy of our good friend Hammond Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the tablet The Wacom Splash tablet, the pen, of course, is included in that, and a copy of, oh my gosh, I already forgot. What's the name of the freaking thing? Our Sketchbook Pro, that's it. Sketchbook Pro for Windows and Mac.
Yep.
We have a winner. I picked at random the following person. Yep, give me a little drum roll there. You sound like my dog.
I have to poop again. Hold okay. on.
6 times the charm. Nate Huff is our big winner. Bling, 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 bling. Nate Yay. Huff. Nate Huff says in his email he wants this for his talented and upcoming artist 14-year-old daughter. And that made me excited that not only did he get randomly picked, but then when I read his email, I went, oh, and it's a really good cause here. He's thinking about his kids.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked. Nate, you'll get an email from me this morning sometime after the show. We'll make arrangements, get it delivered, and happy will be you. Congratulations, and a big thanks to Hammond again for letting us do that contest. That was rad. Really enjoyed it. Okay, one last quick story question, Brian, and then we move on to Trek Nerd. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I'm at the gym yesterday, back on the wagon. Well, I've been on the wagon. I missed a few days, but I went to the gym. Lifting, doing chest, arms, a little bit of leg.
Nice.
Mostly arms, right?
Good, because you've been, you've actually been holding off from going to the gym.
A little bit, right? Just during that weird rehash, but things are getting better. So, and there's no blood in my pee. So, yeah, that's good because nobody wants to see that at the gym.
No.
So I'm at the gym and I'm doing what I'm doing, and I notice everything's normal. A tattoo lady's there again, by the way. She's way far from me, so I'm not feeling intimidated, but she's over there doing her thing. Nice. And there's people just everywhere. They've got loud techno going for I don't know why. There's some crazy music. There's one guy on a who I've seen twice now on a what do you call those machines where you what's the machine where you stand on it, but you grab the big arms too and you're what's that called? Not elliptical. Is it elliptical?
Well, you're standing on it.
It's got like feet steps. Move? Yes.
Do your feet move in an elliptical fashion?
Yeah, it's an elliptical then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it like a standing bicycle?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the one. Okay. So the guy's on an elliptical, and this guy's got his iPad out, and he's watching League of Legends matches while he's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's so great.
Funny.
Yeah. So this time I saw him the first day and didn't say anything. Second day, or this time I patted him on the back and said, "Dude, that's awesome." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah." And he's kind of smiled at me. So you know, you got to let your fellow gamers know you understand.
Totally.
That they're not alone. So he's doing his thing, and then. This is new, though. So, another guy that was there last night. Dude on the track that stops in place and just jitters a lot.
God, yes, right.
And would get in people's way and just stand there the whole time. For I don't know why. There's 1,000 other places to stand and do that, but he's doing it on the track where you're supposed to be moving.
That's funny. So that's a regular thing for him now, too. He just likes to be the salmon swimming upstream.
Yes. That's kind of what it reminds you of. That's funny you'd say that. So he's doing that again yesterday. So all the familiar faces, all the familiar crackheads are doing their thing.
It's like Cheers.
It is like Cheers. Norm, I'm running in place. So I'm thinking things are good. I'm feeling good. I got a lot of energy. We had spaghetti about an hour before that, and for whatever reason, that had me all energized. And
okay.
So I'm rolling around the gym, and then I notice on one of the elliptical machines, there is a dude in full business clothes. Doing the elliptical like a wild man.
Like a suit? Like
yeah,
he's in a suit?
Not a suit, but a button-down blue long sleeve shirt. Not even rolled up on the sleeves. And he's wearing brown, like, business slacks and dark leather, like, patent leather kind of business shoes. And Argyle socks, as best I could tell when they'd flip up. And, you know, haircut like a business guy, the shirt buttoned to the very tip and the tie totally tied. He's in a tie.
Oh my God. Okay.
And he is just like he is just cranking on this
really?
Thing, whipping around. And he was on there the whole time. And all I could think of was like, dude, get a pair of shorts, do something.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I don't know why.
Usually I use it if I show up to work and I left my workout gear at home, that is like, oh, darn, I guess I can't work out today.
Right. I would have not gone. I wouldn't have done this.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get a picture, but there were so many people where he was, I would have been, that would be weird. And you're
somebody would have been
that.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Don't take a picture of that weird guy. And I was in, I think there's even a sign that says, please no pictures in the gym or something. So I didn't feel good about it. I
mean, the tattooed lady actually was the one who had that one put up.
Now, I could have faked it and went, all right, I'm just doing my fitness app here, and I got to hold it up a little bit to see it. You know.
I can't get a signal here as you wave the camera around you.
So I wonder, I mean, I wanted to ask him, is this your regular workout clothes? Is this just a one-off? Are you this weird? Or is this just had a rough day? Are you just blowing off? Like, I want to know that guy's story so bad.
Barney Stinson at the gym is basically what it was.
Yes. It was really odd. And it wasn't like he was just on there slowly, maybe just reading a book and taking a chill.
Right.
He was just really going for it. Was on there for like 20 solid minutes of just cranking
it. Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I have no explanation for this.
All right. Whatever.
Our Oscar pool ends this week, everybody. If you're going to vote, you got to do it now. It's tiny.cc/TMSOscars.
Make your picks. Make your picks.
Make your picks, or as I would say,
cast your votes.
Cast your votes. and let us know how it goes. And we'll let you know how you do.
Right. Well, someone will win. Here's what I'm thinking. So, well, we'll have to figure it out, but I've got, you know, obviously want to do like Coverville t-shirt and free play CD, maybe a Brian Dunaway postcard pack, things like that.
Sure.
I wonder what people would feel like if I threw in a couple used Blu-ray copies of The Dark Knight Rises and or Batman. Was it Batman Begins? No, it's Dark Knight Rises and The Dark Knight.
Which is the one with Bane in it?
Bane and Joker. Or who are you going to get? You're not going to get a Scarecrow.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that first movie, Ryan.
No, I agree. I just don't have it on Blu-ray, and I was thinking I'd throw it. You know.
Well, then your punishment will be more severe.
If they want, right? If they want, see, that's the thing. Giving away a used Blu-ray, is that cool? Is that considered bad?
I think bad you should form? Take your Blu-ray back, Brian.
I think it's okay. I think a used Blu-ray is way cool because you could sign it and doodle on it and screw around with
it. Okay, all right.
And I'll do the same. We got some cool ideas for some packages, and we'll combine our efforts and come up with the ultimate in winnage. For people. That's winning. Fantastic. Winning is right. All right. It is time for this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Team Duct Tape Podcast. It's an up-and-coming gaming podcast. Join the hosts, Josh and Brian, where we cover everything from tabletop to console games. Find us on iTunes or by going to tdtpodcast.com.
Fantastic. Daryl Skeels, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What's your take on... you're not using your headphone jack today. Interesting.
Oh, I am.
Oh, you are? Yeah. It sounds different today. Mm-hmm. Weird.
Oh, that's weird.
How would you feel about getting a used DVD? Are there any other decorum rules about getting used copies of things that would make you feel a little weird about it? Do you have to have a fresh disc to put your hands on?
No, that's fine with me. As long as it's not scratched up or has goo on it or anything.
Here's the drawback is that it's one of those Blu-ray DVD double sets where you get everything.
Yeah.
But I've already used the digital copy code.
Oh, that's totally fine. I think that's... Okay. I think so. This is like giving a friend a used video game that you've already cashed in the
DLC.
The multiplayer pass, for example.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
Which is another $10 if they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's... I think that is not a problem.
Okay. All
right. And the fact that they're getting it for free, big deal. But go ahead and, like Daryl says, get rid of all your goo and scratches before you get weird.
I take good care of my DVDs. There won't be any goo, scratches, or anything.
Brian, take back your goo.
All right. Daryl.
Your goo will be severe.
I'm telling you, I'm in a mood when you don't have blood in your pee. Something about that just liberates you.
More pee in your blood.
What'd I say? Blood in my pee again? No. That's the right way. Blood in your pee.
You did it right.
Okay. And now I'm really confused. All right, Daryl's on the phone right now, if you can imagine.
Imagine.
And he's here to talk about Star Trek. We give him a hard trivia question about Star Trek, and this week is his least favorite week of all time because it's the Breaking Bad themed week. And today it continues. I swear Mike did this just to get under your skin and like poke you in the face and rub sandpaper on your left testicle. I think that's his whole goal here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lay it on you, and we're going to see how you're going to do. So here we go. In Badger's fiction story, the crew is having a pie-eating contest. He says the final three contestants are Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov. Which of these three characters does Badger say is the first to throw up, to expel, to vomit the contents of the pie? Was it A, Kirk, B, Spock, C, Chekhov, or D, there is no D, only Zool, he says on D. He might be drunk, too, when he's making these questions. Sitting around with, like, some cooking wine or something he found in his cupboard there. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Kirk, Spock, Chekhov, and there is no D. All right. While you think about it, I still don't have any new food. Nobody sent me anything.
No, stuff should be on the way, right?
I'm not used to going this long without anything to test, you know.
I know.
I feel like I should lick a pen or something. I don't lick a pen. I hear Daryl's beard. Can you hear his beard? I love the sound of your beard.
Oh, yeah, scratching on the microphone.
Yeah. Can you hear that, Daryl?
Is that doing that? That doesn't... Get away from there.
That's all right. I like your quirky ways. Don't worry about us.
I'm going to hold this way out of the way now.
All right, brilliant. So what are we doing now? Oh, yeah, birthdays. Birthdays. Happy birthday to somebody in Star Trek. Daryl will tell us who.
That would be George Duning. He lived from 1908 to 2000, so he would have been 106 today.
What's George Duning? You know he's got talent.
Sir, I bow to you. That was very well played.
Sorry, go ahead. Continue on.
He composed scores for 6 TOS episodes.
Oh, that's great. Seems like, did he do anything else, or is that kind of his claim to fame? Totally.
He did. He did the music for 310 to Yuma.
Oh,
the original.
Oh yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird, Ash Wednesday.
Oh, he's been a busy guy then.
Yeah.
By the way, I have four copies of The Day After Tomorrow, four copies of Gattaca, four copies of The Minority Report, four copies of Nothing But Trouble.
Wow.
And four
copies. You can keep one of those Gattacas or give it to a Tadpole, because I've got that one on Blu-ray already.
Oh, maybe. And they are Blu-rays. So, yes, cool. I'll hang on to one and we'll give that to somebody.
Yeah.
You just have everything. You're a guy with everything.
I got that as like a special discount thing. I think it came in a box set.
Wow.
Of a bunch of Warner Brothers sci-fi or something, but
did it have The Matrix in there?
I don't remember.
Seems like
probably not, because I don't have that on Blu-ray. Believe it or not.
Mm.
Believe it or not,
you should get that.
I don't have it on Blu-ray.
I don't know how Neo gets out of this. Don't follow the white rabbit if you. Okay, Daryl. Let's go back. Let's go back now. If you'll remember, a question just not long ago. Imagine a question.
Imagine
where we said. Badger's fan fiction had one of the crew barfing at the end of his pie thing.
I like that he's going to stretch out this whole Badger thing into like a week's worth of questions.
Yeah, a whole week. It's the weirdest thing. And your possible answers were Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov, although there's a fake D answer that you don't want to use.
Yeah.
So he's giving you, if anything, you got a hint here, or you have one less possible wrong answer. It's only three.
If anything, Daryl, you can go to YouTube and watch the entire clip tonight after TMS.
Oh yeah, you could. Yeah. You could. You know what? That's not cheating. I think you should do that. So tonight.
Done that yesterday.
I mean, don't do it now, but later when you watch it, then tomorrow, whatever question comes, you'll be a little more versed in what's going on.
By the way, Corinne wants to add, what about the four copies of the 13th Warrior?
Oh yeah, those are right over there. Or did I send those out already?
I haven't gotten it, so.
Okay, nope. If you haven't gotten it, I haven't sent it. Oh, sorry, Corinne. She's going to kill me. All she asks, all this hard work she does for Nerdtacular, everything she does, all she asks is we do one movie a year that she gets to pick for FilmSack, and this is the one we're supposed to do. I suck at making sure it happens. So I'll get on it. We'll get on it. I gave you your Big Trouble in Little China. What else do you want? How much more trouble in Big China, Little China, blood in the pee? All right.
Right.
Daryl, give it to us. Lay it down. Smack it on the side of the thing.
I'm going to say, I'll guess Chekhov.
You're going to guess Chekhov. And your reasoning, is it just straight up a guess, or do you have any kind of deliberation there?
Because Spock is too logical to barf, and Kirk is in command. You can't have a commander barfing.
I must be logical then, because I never like to barf ever. You know my records, right? I mean, let's just go back.
Yeah.
2005 is the last time I barfed. So 05, all right? We got a huge, massive thing, virus that went through the house, and everybody puked. And I did twice that day, that summer, that lonely July summer in 2005. And before that was 1998, after food poisoning, at a bad freaking business lunch thing that was just the shittiest thing I ever did. And before that, I do not have any memory of the last time I yacked before that. I think it was probably when I was a kid. So look at that, guys.
Let's see. What's my record?
Just a few weeks ago, right here on this very show.
I can't even lie about my record.
Yeah. I just am not a puker. There have been plenty of times I should have. Should put it that way. But I didn't. I hold it in. I can't help it. The way it is. My mom. My mom just had the worst. She had 4 days in bed bout with some sort of stomach virus. And she couldn't bring herself to yak once. I'm like, Mom, you're 70-something. You probably could have reduced this down to like 12 hours if you just let it go. She's like, I can't. I can't do it. And I'm like, well, I know where I got it then. All right. What am I? Oh, yeah. So where are we? What are we doing? Oh, Star Trek. Star Trek.
Where was I?
So you said Chekhov is what you said.
Yeah, I guess I said that.
Okay, well, let's find out if you're right. Is it Chekhov? Answer is Kirk. He says Kirk is the first to barf in the contest, leaving just Spock and Chekhov. Here's a clip of that conversation, or that part of it.
Finally, it's down to just three. Kirk, Spock, and Chekhov. Okay, Spock always wins these things.
How is Spock going to beat Kirk, yo? Spock's like a toothbrush. Look at Kirk. He's got room to spare.
Spock has total Vulcan control over his digestion. You want to hear this or not?
Yeah, go.
Okay, finally, Kirk. He can't take it anymore. He yorks. Now it's just down to Chekhov and Spock.
There you go. Definitive. Definitive proof. That really is one of the most classic conversations in TV history, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. despite the torture Mike is putting Daryl through this week, I still think that's a great conversation.
Too. Here's the thing. I don't know how he's going to pull two more questions out of the out of the rest of the story.
Yeah, I don't either. But Daryl, watch that, will you? Let's see how you do tomorrow. Two down for the week, but that's okay. Daryl's not one a guy to keep down, because you can follow him on Twitter and he'll say all kinds of funny stuff today at The Trek Nerd on Twitter. The Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Yes. What were you going to say?
For anybody that hasn't taken a drink yet, you have to, because Scott told his barf history again.
Oh,
have I done that a number? Is that a game? I didn't realize that was a game. I had no idea.
What?
I know.
It is now.
I'm sure there's a, there's several drinking games for us.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. All right, let's do one of these.
But we don't condone morning drinking.
It's Daryl's turn to play a game on us. So, Daryl, what do you got?
Okay, yeah. Is this a Star Trek race or actual currency?
Okay. Now, race, you mean like someone's born into it or they have to run real fast? Which one are we talking about?
I think I'll go with the born into it.
Okay,
then.
Good. Yeah. Got it. The Apsoff. Trilithium Marathon. Sorry, what was it? Give it again.
Apsar.
Apsar. Oh, Apsar.
So it's either a Star Trek race or a what?
An actual currency.
An actual currency. Apsar.
That'll be 14,000 Apsar, Brian. That doesn't sound right, does it?
I think it's current. Well,
it does seem too easy to call it a race thing, but then maybe we think it's too easy because it is.
Yeah. I personally would lean towards currency, because I think that it's a currency that just happens to sound like a Star Trek race, as opposed to the other way around, a Star Trek race that just happens to sound like currency.
All right. I'm going to agree with Brian.
Yeah, it's like blood in your pee and pee in your blood.
Yeah.
It is. It's from the country Abkhazia, and it's a currency.
Always
go with Brian.
He knows his stuff.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Oh, it's the news.
All right, join me, not me, but this person, on Saturday, March 1st at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will be streaming my first 24-hour gaming marathon for a good cause. Sergeant Julian Torres lost his legs while conducting an IED sweep in Afghanistan, and now this wounded Marine needs our help. I'll be working with Homes for Our Troops and raising funds to build Sergeant Torres a handicap-accessible home. Please come watch and donate if you can at twitch.tv/Sal, let's see, Savatar Owns. Okay, S-A-V-A-T-A-R OWNS, like S Avatar Owns. Yeah. If you can't be there for the stream, but would still like to donate, please visit HFOTUSA.org and you can send Sergeant Torres from the list of recipients or choose any of the other heroes who need our help. That's twitch.tv/Savitar Owns. And thanks again, Corporal Matthew Hayworth, USMC veteran.
Nice. That's your service. Yeah, that's cool, man. Final medal count is up for the Olympics.
Okay.
Depends on how you interpret them, but let's do it the way that Canada is going to interpret them.
Who physically holds the most medals in their hands?
All right. The most medals in their... Well, let's do it by this. Most gold medals goes gold like medals. This. Russia, number one.
Okay.
Norway. Wow. Yeah, I know. They kind of creeped out of nowhere. And
yeah, they did.
Norway, number two. Norway's usually killing it, but this year, number two for the gold. Three, mm-hmm. Canada, our neighbors to the north. Okay. And fourth, these United States. That's the order of gold. All right, 13, 11, 10, and 9.
Sure.
If you go by order of silvers, it's Russia, Canada, U.S., then Norway. If you go by bronze, we killed it.
We're the best at third place.
We are number one at first place with 12 of those. Norway with 10, so they'd be in second. Russia with 9, and then in fourth place would be Canada. Now, if you go by total medals earned,
sure.
Russia still won, 33. Which everyone was talking about how they were going to tank. Like yeah. They weren't going to end up winning this whole thing, but whatever. 33 total Russian medals. We're in second place with 28. Then 26 for Norway and 25 for Canada. But these are the big four, man. We kind of own the list. But yeah, all this talk about how Russia was sucking it in their own Olympics. I don't know why that was going on, but
yeah, no, they did really well at the end there with the bobsled, the cross country. Good for them. Good for Russia.
Now in Canada, or sorry, in the Vancouver Olympics, the previous one, mm-hmm. Canada won all that year. So I think there's a lot of host nation winning going on. I think that's just the way it works. So Canada took the first spot. Germany was in second that year. United States in third overall. And then Norway. Now that's in gold medals. If you looked at the Vancouver Olympics in terms of total medal count, we did much better that year in second place. We took 18 silver medals. That year, we would have taken first in total medals, 37 total, with Canada actually a good 10 below that. So it depends on how you interpret these numbers. If you're looking at total medal counts, the U.S. killed it in Vancouver. If you're looking at gold, Canada took that prize. So I don't know how you're supposed to look at these numbers, but I guess whatever serves your country. But
and we kicked butt in skiing, like alpine skiing, freestyle skiing, snowboard.
Yeah.
Were ours. But if it was skiing for long periods of time or while doing something else, then Norway did better because of their cross country, their biathlon, and their Nordic combined.
Yeah. Basically, anything that requires some focus and dedication, we didn't do as well in. We're good at the quick flash in the pan X game style stuff. So there's that. That's the thing that went on. Medical news, Brian. This is good for us, for you and I to know.
All right.
Eating barbecued fried food linked to Alzheimer's.
Oh, interesting.
A new study has revealed that eating meat-rich diets, which have been fried, barbecued, or grilled, can trigger Alzheimer's disease and accelerate aging. And I don't think they mean that you can be 25 and be at a freaking Dickies and then suddenly go, who am I and who are you? I don't think that's how it works.
Right, but a lifelong, you know, living your life like Ron Swanson might result in...
Potentially, yes.
Yes.
I don't think the word trigger is helping this article, but whatever. scientists have discovered that harmful age compounds in the Western diet cause a buildup of dangerous protein that form toxic deposits and ravage the brain, says the Daily Express. It sounds like a place you could buy all that food, doesn't it?
It does, right. Come to the Daily Express for deep fried steak.
Today we got brisket. It's on sale here at the Daily Express. Researchers found that high levels of these compounds suppress the protective enzyme concerned with conditions related to the brain, metabolic disease, aging, and diabetes. The study has also found that fatty and sugary foods like cheeses, eggs, and white bread, pasta, sugary pastas, cakes, biscuits, and all that play a part in Alzheimer's by boosting age levels. So potentially trouble Jeez. There if that's what you're eating a lot
no
of.
Kidding. So meat, cheese, eggs, white bread, pasta, and pastries.
You know, let's just shorten it up. If Eggs I was his editor, biscuits. I would have just wrote food.
Right.
Food. I mean, I guess the...
Totally. I mean, you look at this list.
I think
meat,
the hitch...
Meat, cheese, eggs, white bread, pasta, and sugary pastries. Yeah. Cakes and biscuits.
Yeah, I think the ish... I think the deal is... I said sugary pastas, didn't I? That sounded really good in my head.
Sugary pastas.
I think the deal is that you just, you know, add a bunch of veggies and fruits and things, yes. good food to your diet, and be moderate about these other things, and you'll be fine.
Right. Everything in moderation.
Have you seen, so the dude, Nick Searcy, who plays Art Mullen on Justified, he's the
yeah.
head of the department thing there.
Yeah.
Have you seen his Twitter account?
No, I have not.
Dude is a trip. He is the new...
I'm clicking it.
Who's the Baldwin one that's such a butthole? Is it Steven? No.
Billy, Steven, Alec...
might be Steven.
Steven was a Usual Suspects Biodome dude. I'd be surprised. Oh, well, he is super on the religious kick.
Yeah.
Steven Baldwin, so maybe it's him.
So he's got a Twitter account, this Nick Searcy guy. It's verified, yeah. so we think it's him.
Yeah.
And he is... just being all colors are rude online.
Really?
Mainly like, just calling out fat people and calling them fatties and fat chicks and just kind of being all rude. And then people are getting all over him. He basically is just ultra kind of conservative dude. God. And a lot of people really like this about him. And a lot of people are really upset about him. I'm trying to get one of his good ones here. He was called a racist. Then he pointed out, well, I have a adopted son who's black. Is how am I a racist? And then somebody else hurled all this fat shaming accusations at him, and he's just kind of trolling it up, man. He is just like losing it. So a bunch of people are calling for, I'm not going to watch Justified anymore because of this guy online, and
wow.
asking he's, you know FX to do something about him. And here's my take on this.
His tweets are pretty, you know, just pretty right to the point. Like somebody said, hey, Nick Searcy, maybe you shouldn't be commenting on other people's appearance when you have your face, dude, ..
Yeah.
He replies back, made a lot of money with this face. People pay me to let them film it for movies.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, he likes to do that. He's like, oh, I'm a somebody. You're a nobody. Like a lot of that.
Yeah.
He says
yeah.
here, it's a hypocrisy stunt. If you don't care to get called a racist all day long, Ursi, you don't care if I get called a racist all day long, but if I call someone fat, that's too far. Like he's just... constantly, it's just a back and forth fight with everybody. None of this is like him going, oh, I had a good sandwich today, heading over to the studio to do. He's not doing that. It's all just, you're fat, you suck, defending it, whatever, whatever. Now, here's my take on a guy like this. It's all fine. Say mm-hmm. what you want. I have the same right. We should all be able to say what we want.
Sure.
And other people should be able to say things like, I'm going to quit watching Justified. You can right. do that too if you want. The way I look at it, though, is Justified's a kick-ass show. He's a great character on there, mm-hmm. and this doesn't really color the show for me because it's all fake anyway. I don't know if we all thought this was real.
Thought that he was really the person he plays
yeah.
in Justified, sure.
Or any of those people on any show ever. And I'm including reality TV in there. They're all not like what they are on TV.
Right,
so first
right.
of
all,
pull that away. Quit doing that. You know? Quit pretending these are real people. These characters anyway. And you know what? I mean, do what you got to do, but I'm still going to enjoy that show. And I'm still going to be mildly offended by this guy on Twitter. Both ways. You can have it both ways, everybody. Don't worry about it.
Look at some of these. So somebody said, hey, are you worried about getting fired? I actually know my employers. They actually know me. They're not Twitter morons. No, I'm not worried.
Yeah. Here's another one. She says, here's the conversation. Thanks, Nick Searcy, for continuing to keep me in the loop while Adam Baldwin is asleep. You guys are roommates or something? Because it's Adam Baldwin.
Adam Baldwin, okay.
So then he writes, oh, Adam, it's not one of the Baldwin brothers. It's Adam Baldwin from Firefly.
Oh,
he's
right.
super, super trollish, dickish on the internet. Just real,
wow.
real mean to everybody.
Oh, Jane.
Yeah, see, right? Jane Cobb, what are you doing? But I'm not going to watch Firefly any less just because
right,
of that. But anyway, it says, his reply was, you're really not a very high-level thinker, are you? You tweet kind of fat. He's just constantly calling everyone fat. And I don't know why. Some of these people aren't even fat. Like, you might, that's mighty big of you, he says to somebody with big and giant letters. He says, yes, I'm a fattest. He's got kind of a gut, too. Like, the whole thing's just kind of ironic.
Yeah. This is really funny. I mean, and you look at the timestamps on these. He's tweeting, you know, like once every 6 or 7 minutes, according to this thing. It's like 12 hours ago, 12 hours ago, 12 hours ago, like a big run of 12, then 13 hours ago. Last night, he was just on a rampage.
Yeah. He says this.
I'm trying to find the first, like, the tweet that launched 1,000
tweets. Replies.
Right. Replies.
So he says this. You can't find one homophobic thing I've ever said, fat ass. Like, he's just so...
If hating fat is right, if hating fat is wrong, I don't want to be right. You tell all your fat friends too, fatty.
So here's another one. This guy says, it's really too bad. I used to be a fan, not anymore. And he says, it's okay. I always thought you sucked. We're finally even. He's just rude. He's just rude. He's just a jerk.
Wow.
So... whatever, I still like that show a lot. So do what you got to do.
Well, now we're really not watching Justified anymore now that Nick Searcy has a soft fit to insult my wife. And then Nick replies, well, I guess I'll struggle on through without you. You should see my house. This is some clever dickishness.
Yeah, it's real bad. But funny. See, but not as sad as the... what? Oh, here's a good one. Check this one out. Hold on. Mr. Searcy occupies a weird middle ground where his breakdown is vicious and hateful, but also kind of sad. And he wrote, but not as sad as the humorless fat asses in need of a lap band surgery calling me racist. Like, he's just, rah!
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. For me, it's just another flash in the pan internet blowout that's just kind of entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
He's a jerk. But people are jerks. Amazed.
Again, you know, scrolling. I mean, I think I've scrolled for several minutes here, and I'm only at 19 hours ago.
Oh, yeah, like, no, he's a voracious Twitter person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Constant tweets all the time.
I hope he's using Siri to type these tweets.
That'd be great.
Worried about his thoughts.
And I hope he does an Art's voice. Raylan, come on here in my office. But here's the thing. I absolutely adore that character. It's one of my favorite television characters. Yeah. And I'm fine. I am absolutely fine separating the two things. I don't have a problem with it. Just like I can separate Jane from Adam Baldwin. It's not hard. So just decide for yourselves, everybody. There's a little celebrity poop, pre-celebrity poop, which we'll get to in a second, but not yet.
Really poop from a celebrity.
Very poopy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
HelloFresh.com would like to say, hello, we're fresh. they make cooking fun again. Chef's recipes straight to your door. Guess what? You got 30 minutes to spare. Good, because that's how long it'll take you to make one of these amazing recipes. Bunch of shrimp in there, bunch of little beef strips. I can't eat those right now, but maybe one day. All that great food they make available to you, fresh and to your door. You make it, and then boom, everyone you know and love thinks you are a hero. Go check it out. They are worldwide and growing every day. If they are delivering to you, you'll know it if you go to HelloFresh.com. And if they do, use MorningStream50 at checkout for 50% off for new customers. That's MorningStream50 at HelloFresh.com.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Geek Positive, the New Yorker for geeks. We're killing off the iOS newsstand app and moving to the web at geekpositive.com. Help us get the show off the ground or on the road by supporting us with a cent, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, or more per article via patreon.com/geek.
Yeah, get on the road. Get on the road. Off the road is weird.
Get the show off.
Face
up on the right
off.
Step on the road.
Face off. Justin Bieber.
I could read Nick Searcy's tweets for hours.
I kind of think I might could.
You know.
Someone's mad at me for following him. Sent me a tweet saying, you actually follow him? He says, you still follow him? I'm like, still? I only found out about him 30 minutes ago. I barely followed him.
Yeah.
Worry about yourselves.
He's wrong, but he's entertaining.
Yeah, he's wrong and entertaining. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, Justin Bieber.
There you go.
His new neighbors in Atlanta, because we talked about how he's moving there. Or he wants to get a house there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wants
in Atlanta.
He wants out of California and his provincial life.
Sure.
So he can egg someone else in a
there
different
state.
There
are more state. Eggs in Atlanta. That's right.
Oh, there's so many eggs there.
He wants to be closer to DragonCon because that's his jam.
That's his thing. YOLO, baby.
I'm going to be a stormtrooper in the parade.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? If he showed
that
up like that.
Actually would be great. Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a thing. And we all might like him a little more. Justin Bieber's new neighbors in Atlanta have something to say about him coming there, though. This is the quote from this community who have all gotten together and wrote this together and have published this. And it says this: as a community here in Buckland, or Buckhead, rather, we have worked hard to achieve our goals and to get where we are. Justin Bieber's relocation to Atlanta can be nothing but bad for our children.
Someone think of the children.
As well as for the community. Some can't even let their children play in the driveway without fear. He has raced vehicles under the influence before. What's to say he won't do it again? As a homeowner down the street from this residence, one can only assume many people will be contacting real estate agents soon enough, meaning to move, right?
Right.
Bieber responded, this is what he said. Quote, I guess I'm an easy target for some. I'm still human.
Wait. Who is this? Who is this voice?
I don't even know. Where am I pulling this out of? I believe.
It's Kennedy and...
Hello!
I can't do it. What should I do? What's his voice?
I guess I'm an easy target for some.
Okay, that's not bad.
I'm still human. I will continue to meet hate with love. It's all about the music. Much love.
You're stoned.
It's all about the music.
What is that in there for?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I'm just a melody traveling on a breeze.
And you
all the way to Atlanta.
I think that they are both. I don't like the letter from the people either. And right. I don't like his response. I don't like any of it.
Here's my thing. All right, let's say he moved to this little section of Arvada where I live.
Yeah, let's say he's in your street, on your street.
If he's on my street. Okay, well, if he's on my street, I'm actually considering moving not because I'm worried that he's going to be racing vehicles down the street under the influence. I'm more worried about all of the paparazzi traffic, all of the everything else that goes along with it. I don't want to even be around it. I don't want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what California's for.
Yeah, right? That's why we have it over there.
That's why there's Malibu.
Right.
So that you can have your little house 30 yards from the street so that if paparazzi were to drive by, all they're seeing is your front gate and a bunch of trees.
Right. And we all know it's any time that thing's just going to slough off into the ocean anyway. And, and then there's Florida. Go down there. That whole wiener just sticks way out into the ocean. Just sticks out there going, I dare you to hurricane me.
Right.
So go there. I'm with you. That's why I wouldn't like it. I wouldn't worry so much about the safety as I would like, ugh, what is going on out front today? Why are we? I can't even back out of my driveway.
Right.
Why is that reporter asking me questions? Why are there eggs on my window? All right. Alec Baldwin is speaking of Baldwins, not the same family, but may as well be. Alec Baldwin is quitting everything, he says.
Oh, again. All right.
Yeah. Some article.
I thought he quit quitting.
It was a I don't know where it was published, some magazine, but he's leaving New York and he said this. If quitting the television business, the movie business, the theater, and any component of entertainment is necessary in order to bring safety and peace to my family, then that is an easy choice. He says he is out. I don't believe it for a second, but that's what he says.
And he's threatened to leave the country if W was elected to a second term.
Yeah, remember that? He said that on Letterman or something out loud. Yeah. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. As a guy, can you trust Alec Baldwin? I don't know.
Who will we get to run our Capital One commercials? I guess we already have Samuel L. Jackson and Jimmy Fallon, right?
Listen, I need you to hunt for the Red October.
We've already replaced him three times over.
Yeah, we've
had three Jack Ryans since him.
Yeah,
two
you're three. No, Jack three. Right? Wait.
Right. Harrison Ford,
Ben Affleck, and now son of the police captain on Chips. That guy.
Right.
What's his name? I can't think of his name. Chris Pine. They're endangered. You need to not burn. You can't make fires in that certain forest, or you're going to burn down all the crisp pines. Harold Ramis. Ramis. There's none of those new Ramis. I don't know why I said Ramis twice. Harold Ramis. Fantastic filmmaker, writer, extraordinaire, and actor.
actor too. Yeah.
Has died at the age of 69. Oh. And I remember hearing this yesterday. It was right after the show aired yesterday morning. And I remember just being shocked. Like, shocked because I feel like that's too soon.
Yeah.
You get a feeling sometimes who the good guys in Hollywood are.
Right, right.
And he was always a good guy. Like, by all accounts, just the nicest guy and so talented. And if we got nothing from him, Groundhog Day is one of the most brilliant things ever made. Like, what an incredible piece of writing and directing and everything. Yeah. And Ghostbusters and freaking Caddyshack, Animal House he co-wrote.
Yes.
Stripes. I mean, where does it end?
Meatballs.
It's all good.
I guess it was Meatballs. Oh, no, we wrote the original Meatballs as well.
It's not all good, I guess. Some of it's not. No, some of it's mediocre. The last half of Stripes sucks, but whatever.
Whatever.
The first half's amazing.
He was great in it.
He was really good in it.
Yeah.
He's Egon, for heaven's sakes.
Exactly.
Just great. And I even, like, he had a cameo spot or a kind of small spot in Orange County.
Mm.
Did you ever see that? The Jack Black?
Zach Braff, yeah.
Was Zach Braff in that? No, that was Colin Hanks was in that.
Yeah, that's right.
They swapped those two guys out. It's kind of the same. but that movie was great, and he played somebody's dad or something in it, or neighbor. I can't remember what, but just memorable and fun to look at, and just I like him. I like his older visage. I like him with the gray hair and the
over the afro.
Yeah, I think so. There's something about that I liked. I don't know. He's just a sweet, nice guy. By everyone's account, his children, he had grandkids. Just a nice family guy, and
yeah,
just real connected to his friends. And I'll bet, you know, people like Aykroyd and others can't be happy about him passing. So anyway, Godspeed there, Harold Ramis.
I guess he'd been sick for a while, and this is one of those things that just wasn't publicized, wasn't well known that he'd been sick for a little while.
Well, he had a. Since 2010, he was diagnosed with some autoimmune disease that affected blood flow and some other stuff. And I think this is what ended up he had to sort of succumb to. But, yeah, he fought the fight and did the thing. And it's one of those guys you're just like, oh, he'll be around forever. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel really old now. I mean, Ghostbusters 3 would have been better if he had involvement, if they are really going to do that movie. It sounds like they are. Yeah, I don't know. Just feel bad
directed,
about it.
Directed Vacation. Mm-hmm. Directed National Lampoon's Vacation, Caddyshack, yep. Club Paradise, Groundhog Day.
Yep.
Even Multiplicity.
Yep, Multiplicity with a whole bunch of Keatons. Yep.
Yes.
I forgot about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that one recently as The Ice something.
I saw The Ice Harvest.
John Cusack, yeah. The Ice Harvest. Very different, but really, really kind of cool. I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. I heard about this. I haven't seen it, but
kind of film noir, kind of
Billy Bob Thornton, Connie Nielsen.
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's really good.
Hmm.
Anyway,
let's throw that on the list.
Give me your favorite Ramis movie. Go.
It's It's got to be Groundhog Day. I mean, I put that up there with Fish Called Wanda as my two favorite comedies of all time.
It is a fantastic movie. Yeah.
Yeah, they swap the number one and number two spot, and it's. It's because of his great directing. He knows what to do with Bill Murray to bring out the best Bill Murray-ness.
The Bill Murray of that era of the 80s and 90s was at his best under the direction of Harold Ramis.
Agreed.
I really believe that. Whenever he was either acting with him or being written for by him or being directed by him, that's the best Bill Murray you got during kind of the heyday of Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Now you get a very different Bill Murray now, and you can do Wes Anderson and these other guys can do weird things with Bill Murray, and it's great.
Yeah,
but there is a certain I know you'd still like Scrooge, but if you take Scrooge and put that up next to Groundhog Day, it could not be more of a different affair.
No argument there. No argument. As much as I like Scrooge, it just pales in comparison to Groundhog Day.
You gotta watch
and
that.
Of course Ghostbusters. You can't. You know.
Oh yeah, how can you beat that?
You can't beat Ghostbusters.
Two kind of sucked.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well,
and he directed and wrote that, but you know, you can't win them all.
But you had Vigo.
Oh, Vigo.
Vigo.
Talk to the painting.
That's it for that. Let's move on to tweakedaudio.com, who would like you to buy a pair of earbuds for your best friend. You got a good friend, you're saying, "Hey buddy, you're my friend. I like you a lot, but I don't know how to tell you I like you so much." So I'm gonna
are earbuds the way to do it?
It is the way to do it. Yeah, you go buy a pair of earbuds and you think, well, I really want him to hear things well and to have a good time with his audio experiences. So that's what you do. And you go buy him over at Tweaked Audio and you save a bunch of money and your friend doesn't even know. He just thinks, oh, you didn't have to spend this much. But you didn't really. You just you got a good deal because we gave you a code, and that code is STREAM, and you use it at checkout. You can use that as many times as you want, and you get 33% off your order at tweakedaudio.com. It's really that simple, everybody. Tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM for 33% off. Go get yourself a pair today. Brian, let's take a break.
Okay.
We'll do music or something, but before that, we got your Bill Duran will be here with your fitness geek.
Yes.
Jury's on a plane, so he will not be joining us today.
Harassing the flight attendants, I'm sure.
Correct. He is back from a wedding. His brother got married and is flying home. So there you go. Leaving the America's Wang back to the hellscape that is California. So let's do a song for all that.
Sure. All right. This one is going out to Reclamation, who listens to the show but apparently missed a day. Says, Brian, I listened to the show the other day that happened after the Grammys. You played a Daft Punk cover since they had won several awards. I couldn't help but think that the best tribute I've heard to Daft Punk in my mind is the cover song called Daft Punk by a cappella group Pentatonix. It mixes some of the best Daft Punk songs together and sounds amazing. The video is also fun if you have time to watch. I'd like to request the song so everyone else can enjoy it as well. Love the show, though. Reclamation. Now, we played this one.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was the episode after the Grammys. I thought that's when we played that Daft Punk thing by Pentatonix.
Yeah, it seems right.
But that
would be my memory, dude. That's what I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's funny that he's requesting, and I know we've played it. I don't remember if that was the day we played it, but we've definitely played it. So I'm gonna put in a different Pentatonix song. This one's also very good. It's with the amazing Lindsey Stirling, who's going to be here in Colorado. I want to say this week. We just saw Walk Off the Earth last week, and they were amazing. They did the thing with the five people playing one guitar for somebody that I used to know, by the way. And if you get a chance to see them come through your town, you should go check them out, Walk Off the Earth.
Right.
But while we were there, they were promoting the heck out of Lindsey Stirling, another YouTube discovery sensation. I hate the term YouTube sensation.
I do too.
But let's go ahead and hear Radioactive. This is performed by Pentatonix and Lindsey Stirling. It's, of course, a cover of the song by Imagine Dragons, and it's from the single of the same name that came out last year.
Ah, Utah Connection, those Imagine Dragons. Well, here you go then. Radioactive. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I'm waking up. So now let's go out on the street to see what people had to say about size and if size really matters.
Don't you think it might be kind of fun if I was larger?
Well, yes.
I'd be game for that. I mean, what guy wouldn't want to be bigger?
I'd buy it.
Why?
What guy doesn't want to be bigger?
And I'll buy it for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. More women have more smiles on their face.
Yeah, huh? You like that, huh? She like that.
And
oh, yeah.
Up to Sally.
The morning stream. Am I still here? Hello?
We're back. Hello, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
That was a browsing version of that song.
Yeah, it was.
Or you know what reminds me of is the Sony press conference at E3 last year, because that's what they came out with that song. Yeah, they were. Well, maybe they ended it with it, but one way or the other, it was Jack Trenton in his suit with that big dumb grin on his face that said, Microsoft screwed up today, and we're taking advantage of it. And they were, welcome to the new age! And the crowd was going wild, and you never see that guy smile like that. It was kind of impressive.
Nice.
Yes, we're back. My wife saw them in concert, the Imagine Dragons.
Uh-huh.
Said they were fantastic.
Huh.
Really enjoyed them.
I like their stuff. I haven't heard anything from them that I don't like, so.
There taint nothing wrong with them, Brian.
Okay. Okay.
Alrighty. We're going to call Bill. Bill Durant.
Bill.
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 I hate zombies. Bill. Damn it, Bill.
All right. That's my Francis.
Bad Jerry.
Bill.
Oh, yeah. Jill. Bill. Got it. Took me a second. We're going to. Do I have that here somewhere?
Barry.
Yeah, Barry.
Jill.
Barry.
Jill.
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 Yours is
Jill.
Bill. See that? You don't even know the difference.
Jill.
Bill.
Bill.
Bill. Bill. Bill. Bill.
Yay, Bill.
Bill, not science Bill. Guy.
It's Bill, everybody. Bill Duran, the fitness geek, here on Tuesdays, talking about your health and your geeky lifestyle. Bill, what's going on?
Hey guys, did you have breakfast today?
Yes.
I did.
A banana and a piece of toast.
Well, tell me, did you hear about the new breakfast item they're having at Taco Bell?
The waffle taco or something.
Waffle wraps.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Put a link in the chat room if you guys haven't seen it. If you're listening later, go ahead and look up the waffle taco.
Yeah. What do you think about
that? Yeah. I can't be good for you.
Yeah,
ooh,
yeah.
That's.
I mean, I'm no nutritionist.
No,
but I can't imagine the waffle taco should be part of your nutritious breakfast in the morning.
That's
no,
right.
No, it's described as a warm waffle wrapped around sausage or bacon, scrambled eggs, cheese, and syrup, and it's shaped to look like a taco.
Now, okay, this is what happens with big fast food chains that go on forever. Their food very. Well, not quickly, but eventually starts to not be anything like what they were originally meant to
their
be.
Their mission statement.
Yeah. So Taco Bell was south of the border, Mexican food, tacos, tostadas, tortillas, you know. And now it's
a taco. It says it right in the
Right. But yeah. Now it's just a shape of something.
Well, now it's just think outside the bun, which gives them a lot more leeway.
That's a good right. point.
Like, it's a waffle. It's not a bun.
Yeah.
Is that still their thing they're saying? Think outside the bun?
I think so.
All right.
So here's an alternative. Here's what I've been eating for breakfast.
All right.
I got Greek yogurt.
Oh, lovely.
Apparently good for you.
Very good.
Yeah. And I dump a little granola into that. Feeling really hippie-ish. Mm-hmm. Sitting right in up on Capitol Hill in Seattle. And yeah, it's pretty good. You can get it in like vanilla, the yogurt.
Yeah.
Because I got like the plain old kind, which is really, really tart.
Really sour, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You got to go vanilla or you do that. They have a honey flavored at Costco right now. It's real good.
The honey flavor, the honey one I found. So a serving of the normal stuff is about 220 calories. The honey one is over 300.
Yeah, they definitely.
So getting the honey one, you're making a pretty big calorie step up.
The lemon, the same brand of Greek yogurt I get at Costco, they have a lemon version that is the same caloric intake as vanilla.
Yeah.
But if you like lemon at all, real, real good.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm going to try that next. Yeah, I'm on a kick out. Right now.
It's a little it's a little lemon pledgy, you know, if I'm being honest, but it's still.
But be honest, though, whenever you smelled lemon pledge, you're like, that smells like it would taste really good.
Oh, all the time, dude. I have a confession to make. You ready for this? I was
you
so.
Drank lemon
no,
pledge.
Close. Okay. I was so into lemon everything growing up. I still am. So it's why people send me lemon Pez. It's one of my favorite things at Nerdtacular was Cleo with a giant thing of lemon Pez she gave me. Like, I love lemon everything. Lemon heads, lemon whatever. Lemon drops, whatever. Lemon everything. Love it. Lemon squares, dude. Oh,
a lemon those square. Are good.
So good. So anyway, when I was a kid, I had the same kind of thing with lemon. I thought it was really great. And I remember one time my mom sprayed the spray pledge on some, like, a wooden side table. And I could see it still. She'd rubbed it, but it was still kind of wet. And I remember thinking, I wonder what that tastes like. Now, I was probably like 5 or 6 or 7. I don't know. Some young age. I do remember it, though. I went over to that table and I licked it to find out. It was terrible.
Yeah. Good old sure. Imagine.
Yeah. It didn't put me off lemon, but it did put me off lemon pledge being an edible alternative. It was not good.
I'm glad you did the footwork for us there.
Yeah. No, I look, if I'm anything, I always think about that guy who had to eat the first berry that was not poisonous, or the dude that ate a banana and got lucky, but because his brother ate the other thing that looked just as tasty and died from it. Like, I always think about that. Like, when I'm sure this is impossible to do and it's a long period of time and who knows what early man was doing, but I'd be very curious about the guy that first figured out that mushroom was okay. Before he found out the other mushrooms would kill him.
You know? Right. Yeah, there was a lot of trial and error.
Yeah. I think that's fascinating. But anyway.
So, yeah. So, except lemon pledge, right?
Sure. Of course.
So, last week, I told everyone that I'm going to come in and be accountable to my fitness goals for the next couple of months. And I am here to report that I am doing very well.
Oh, good.
I'm pretty proud of myself. And I wanted to, and when you think fitness over the very long term, or like, for example, I lost a lot of weight a couple of years, it's been like 3 years now. It almost feels like a dream that I went through all that because it was a lot of work. And I don't even really, I'm like, did I really do all that? But I did. But now that I'm trying to recreate that, like, it feels like it's harder this time. It feels like, how do I know that I'm doing it right?
You think it's an age thing, by the way, a little bit?
Could be, yeah.
Just a little bit. It's only a few years, but that can mean the difference in how much harder. I feel like that's totally true for me. The older you get, the harder it is to pull it off.
And it's the only thing I remember from the first big batch of losing weight was that I lost a ton of weight. I remember I went to the gym a bunch, I ate a lot less, and I lost a ton of weight. But the day-to-day specifics are kind of lost to memory, right? So how do you know on a day-to-day basis that you're doing it right?
Good question.
So first of all, weighing myself every day. And my weight is indeed going down, which is a good sign. Although when you do sort of alter your calorie intake and exercise more, you lose a bunch of weight, like 5 pounds right off the bat. Like, it just drops off. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they call water weight. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That would make but sense. The easiest, the low-hanging fruit.
The low-hanging fruit goes away. Yeah. So that barely counts. And when people say they lose or gain 5 pounds every once in a while, that's mostly what that is. So how do I know that I'm getting into the meat of my goal achieving on a day-to-day basis? So besides just losing weight, my pants already feel more relaxed around the waist area. Even after just 1 week, my pants feeling good. I don't have to crank on the belt quite so hard. I'm approaching another belt loop. I know, Scott, you posted the picture of your belt. You had to punch new holes in it or get a new belt.
Yeah, I ended up punching a hole because the new belt, I did get a new belt, but it was the same problem. I'm having a hard time finding belts that are fitting me in this weird middle space of whatever. Kim bought me a new pair of 38s because I've been wearing 40s on the waist. And they've always been a little loose, but I don't like tight pants. So
right.
I probably could have always been wearing a 38, but she went and got me a 38, and it's still way too big. Just a big old baggy mess. I think I'm probably closer to like a 34, maybe even eking toward a 32 now.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Slim Jim.
But it sucks because I got a whole library. I have a whole wardrobe up there of clothes. I keep all my clothes in the library.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go buy.
Your clothes.
I don't want to go buy a whole new set of everything. No one wants to do that. So no, I'm a little stressed about that, actually, but whatever.
So the belt thing is a good indicator. This is a thing that I noticed. A little gross. Warning everyone. Gonna talk about poop.
Yeah!
Yeah. I'm pooping a lot less. Like, way less than normal.
Yeah.
Just because I don't have as much food in me.
Gross.
It is kind of gross.
No, it's not. It's normal human behavior. Listen, yes. Everybody poops. I've read the book. It's true.
In fact, what's normal is pooping once or twice a day or once or twice a week. Between that range is perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start dropping weight, you might be like, it's been a day or two since I've gone, and I just don't have to go.
You start worrying that you got like a big constipation bomb or something coming.
Yeah, right? Like, what's going to happen at the end of this?
I'm going to be like John Wayne. They're going to extract 40 pounds of impacted meat out of my colon. That's a falsehood, by the way, people. Turns out that was fake. Anyway.
So normally, I'm a once-a-day kind of guy. I'll tell you what, when I was super heavy and I was eating just way, way, way too much, it was like twice a day, not going to lie. Not great. So only every other day, not bad. Yeah, I know I'm doing something good, mm-hmm. or doing it right at least. And I'm also hungry all the time, except for right after when I eat. Because my body, when you eat lean stuff, when you eat like lean proteins and vegetables, your body can access that right away. It doesn't store it. It's not like fat. It doesn't store it. It accesses it and uses it right away. So you feel hungry like an hour later.
Right. I can tell you from my experience since losing this weight and, you know, all this stuff, if you don't count the diverticulitis trouble, that's been true for me as well. I used to be a three-time-a-day man. That was me every day. And that was considered normal, I guess. But
approaching the high end of normal.
Yeah. Now I'm like one time.
One good one.
Yeah.
Time. Enjoy yourself.
Sure. Get your iPad out. Read a comic, play a game, do what you gotta do. Well, that's good, dude. I'm glad you're hitting this stuff. That's fantastic. And is there any value in letting people know what you're using specifically to track it? I can't remember if we've talked about this before.
I'm using Lose It. Mm-hmm. There's a Facebook group. There's also a group in Lose It. Group. Yeah. You can actually see. I think people can just see what the crap I'm reporting. Mm. So that's all on there. I'm trying to do some other things to stay on the straight and narrow too. So, for example, last Saturday I went to a board game party with my brother and his wife and some friends, and they made pizza. They were small slices. I had three small slices of pizza. I tracked them all on my calorie tracker.
Very good.
And then I grabbed a bag of sugar snap peas and I ate all of them.
Oh god!
You know, well, when you're playing a board game and it's not your turn, and you're sitting there like, I'm gonna munch on something, and where previously that may have been cookies or something, if I eat that entire bag of sugar snap peas, it's like, I don't know, 70 calories maybe. As opposed to the frosted animal crackers I had the previous weekend that were amazing.
Yeah.
but it kept me busy just eating those peas.
Do you find yourself not craving sugary stuff as much? That's definitely kicking in for me where I'm not craving it as much.
Yeah, I'm a savory dude anyway. Yeah. I tend to go for that.
Oh, I've always said you're a savory dude.
Putting that on my business card.
Savory dude, Bill Duran.
My other vice, I'm a guy who likes beer. I like delicious, awesome, amazing beer. So now what I'm doing, at least for the next until a party or whatever, is one of those giant delicious beers, like a 22-ounce beer. I'll go splurge on like a super expensive, really nice bottle of beer, and I have that on Saturday, and that's my one vice. So I get a little bit of a cheat day on Saturday. And that's working out pretty good for me.
Yeah, I'm not a beer dude, but there's certain things. Like, I have a real tough time if I see a tray of brownies come my direction. There's something in those resembling grains.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I can occasionally just cut off a square and be okay, and no one's going to be the wiser. But on the whole, though, I just find myself less interested in junk. Like, I have no desire right now. Like, a bag of chips does not sound good to me. I'd be a sucker if I saw anything with like salt and vinegar on it. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. But I just don't seem to care anymore. And I think that's good because I am craving other things. I crave pasta a lot. I think that's where I'm getting my carbs now.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm trying to do more, you know, healthier pastas, like, what do you call it? Spinach based pastas and things like that. Right. But I really like them and they're great. And salads, I crave salads all the time. Like, give me a freaking mm-hmm. chicken salad, like now, and I'm in. And I don't mean like chicken, like, I don't mean like a tuna fishy kind of chicken salad. I mean like
a salad with chicken in it.
Yeah, it's a big old salad with chicken in it and all kinds of greens and peppers and all that. And some kind of vinaigrette kind of thing. Like, this is all girl food back when I was growing up, but I'm really liking it. It's great. I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
No more burgers. I'm off. I'm off the burgers.
I think once a week I'll have something like a burger along with my tasty, delicious, giant beer. And when you only have that one amazing beer, let me tell you, it's even better.
I'm sure. Once a week. Appreciate it even more.
I drank it for it took me an hour. Tiny sips. I'm like, oh, it's so good. Mm.
This will be the best entire package of Oreos I've ever eaten.
Yes.
I'm only limiting myself to one entire package a week.
That's great. Well, good, man. I'm glad to hear all this. This is fantastic news. Anything else in your world that we should tell people about?
Well, you guys talk about Nerdtacular. Yeah. I'm going to be there.
Judging the contest, baby. Woo!
Yeah. And I'm going to do a panel on costuming.
Yes.
Cool. Other people can learn from me and the mistakes that I've made and get into the cosplay community.
We talked yesterday at that Q&A about some of the things that we'll be adding, and this is an example of that, like a really cool new twist, a new great panel, voices and faces you know, but talking about other stuff you never hear about. Like, I'm stoked about that. So that's great, dude. I can't wait to see you guys again. Cool. That's going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure you check out, just as a reminder here in the show, if you didn't pay attention to the top of the show or you missed that part, if you're listening live, you can go to tiny.cc/nerdtacular right now, and that will give you tickets. Tickets are available now. Nerdtacular.com will be a bunch of details when the show's up here a little bit later today, so watch for that as well. And at the store, there's a ton of packages you can get that will help this event go off without a hitch. And as a reminder, we're not raising ticket prices. They're staying the same as last year.
Woohoo!
Because we're not jerks.
And excited.
This isn't the NMX. This isn't the Podcast Media Expo, folks, where we're going to jack it up 400%. Well, good. Bill, Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprofs.com, your YouTube channel, kicking it, /punishprofs.
Yeah, we just hit 10K subscribers. Woo!
Yay.
And I promised another costume dance video, so that's going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Great.
Where I put on costumes and dance and film it. Because people like that.
You know what the people want.
That's right.
You're stepping up to the challenge. I like it.
That and videos of my cat.
Yeah, of course. Why not? Mm-hmm. Bill Duran, thanks, man. Let's talk real soon, okay?
You betcha.
Stay out of trouble.
Thank you, Bill.
Bye,
Bill.
See you, Bill.
Bill. So I have a potential surprise here for you.
Oh, what?
Well, that's one of them.
Okay.
The king of TMS.
Oh, the crown dude.
That's right. Would like to call in. Can we do a Skype call in from the king of TMS?
Call. What's he doing? What's his big surprise?
Well,
is it he has to tell us
that we haven't talked to them before? Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, here we go then. Have him call in now. My Extra Life is where you want to call.
Yep.
If it rings, we'll add you to the thing.
Right that second.
Yeah. So give him a second because he can't hear us for about a minute.
And well, I messaged.
Oh, you messaged him? Okay.
Yeah, I messaged them in.
Oh, good.
In chat.
And do we know what he? What's the? Is he just has something to tell us, or do we not know?
I think just a kind of hello and a thank you and thanks for what we're doing kind of thing.
All right. I'm down with that.
I don't think there's any big announcement or anything, but this is exciting because I don't think anybody knew who was going. So is
this going to be somebody I know?
Oh, it keeps saying call failed.
Oh, why?
Let's see. Want us to call you? There we go. All right, here I'm going to give you a Skype name in Skype.
See if you can add him. We'll let you add.
Oh, I can try. Sure.
Say add person to this call. See if it'll let you.
Let's see here. That's the plus with a. That's the plus in a balloon.
Yeah, I think so.
It does not let me add.
Oh, okay. Send me the name, then I can do it.
Yep, it's in Skype.
Okay,
it's in Skype.
All right, here we go. Here we go. We're adding him now. It's not working. Don't know why. So let's
try it over here. Okay.
Just hang on, everyone. Relax.
Hopefully this is an anticlimactic.
Well, at this rate it is, but I think we can get over the hump here.
Okay.
So wait. Jagged Eye. It won't let me add him either.
Huh.
Oh, wait. Maybe it's coming in.
Okay.
Add to group call. Okay. Hello, who's this?
Can we have some...
Hello, hello?
I hear people.
That sounds like you're at a meeting. Hello?
Where are y'all doing?
Hey, who's this?
Where are y'all doing?
Who is this? Hello?
I don't think this is it.
All right, goodbye.
That's not him. That can't be him.
I don't think so.
The guy's in class or something.
Probably listening to us in class and decides to call in when we're doing this. All right.
He's not let me add his name. It's saying unable to add or something.
So maybe what we do.
Hey, call tomorrow. How about
Yes.
Yeah, we'll arrange it so it's a little less destructive to the end of the show. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, we could fiddle with this all afternoon, but we need to, maybe we'll just get him added and that way it's easier to do. I don't know why it's not just taking it. It should just work, but it's not. And he should be able to call me and that's not working either. So I don't know what's going on.
No.
You got some weird stuff on your Skype. All right. Well, we'll work that out and get you on here tomorrow and we'll chat with you. Cause I'd like to meet the king as well.
Yes.
That's it. We're done. What else are we doing?
No, we're not.
Aren't we? Oh, we got emails. Hey, emails, Brian. They're brought to you by
the Epic Geeks Podcast for gamer geeks everywhere. Pull up a chair and join three Brits discussing their geeky gamer habits, covering gaming news, reviews, and much, much more. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podkicker, or on our website at epicgeeks.co.uk.
That's funny. It looks like website www on there. Anyway. Dear,
not say that part. Yeah.
No, Dyer from the Tadpool says, "Dear Standard Error and my binomial." I don't know what a binomial is. I should know what that is. I don't know what it is.
That's a math. It's when a binomial is. Oh, I should know this too. I think it's when you've got
it's a two statistics
XY,
thing, right? Like a stats thing. Probably.
No. It's like when you're factoring large algebraic functions.
Oh. Well, it feels like it applies to this because he says the following. Wendy hit the nail on the head when she said that when comparing different countries' crime rates, the devil is in the details. As an example, take the statistic that the UK is more violent than the US. This hinges on the definition of violent. According to the FBI, there are four crimes classified as violent crimes in statistics. Murder, non-negligent manslaughter, forcible rape, robbery, and aggravated assault. In the UK, this list also includes domestic violence, non-sexual, emotional, or financial abuse, threats, physical force, sexual assault, and stalking carried out by a current or former partner of the family member, and all sexual offenses, including rape, sexual assault, sexual activity with children, soliciting prostitutes, but not prostitution itself, sexual threats, sexual touching, and indecent exposure. Homicide rates are a better gauge of lawlessness, as a definition for what for that are broadly the same everywhere. The UK is 1.2 per 100,000. The US, it's 4.7 per 100,000. And Turkey, where you get your data last week, is 3.3 per 100,000. So technically, the US is still leading in the murders per 100,000.
Jeez.
Love the show, though. 95% confidence intervals. Dyer from the pool. Yeah, he's right. And there was a lot of talk during the week after that about how stats are heavily defined by how you define them. So if you see a statistic and you go, oh man, the UK's got way more violence than we do. Well, violence means what to them versus what does it mean to us? And we have a much looser definition of violence. So there you have it. Man, Nerk Cersei's at it again, tweeted 1 minute ago. He says, it's like they actually think that that I can see whether they are fat or not through the computer. If they are, they burst into tears. Anyway, he's just ripping on fat people again. Let's see.
He and Chinbeard should get together. Jeez.
Yeah, he should. Lauren wrote in, says a few shows ago, Scott talked about someone shouting fart gas at him in the parking lot. Remember this? You remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have been listening to some older TMS episodes. I first started listening somewhere around episode 200, and in episode 25 for 7/3/2011, European date format, he says, I think around the 85-minute mark in the Weird Web section, you guys talked about fun fart facts and fart gas, so I had to write this email as soon as I stopped laughing. So maybe we made some reference, and this person was bringing up that reference.
That's crazy.
This is the third of how many, like, third or fourth theories people have about the fart gas man? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I still don't know.
Oh, I know. And there's so many. I don't think you'll ever know. I mean, there's no way to know unless somehow you meet up with that person again and they explain it.
Yeah. I'm still not even sure the words were fart and gas. I just think they were. Hello, Argentina. From Argentina. Argentina says, Juan. Hi, guys. I just found the station on the iTunes radio section. Keep up the good work. I'm improving my English while I work. Regards, Juan.
Nice.
Look at us. Reaching down there in Argentina on the iTunes radio section. Is that what they call that?
The iTunes radio section, sure.
We're in that? I didn't know we were in that.
I didn't know we were in that either. I wonder how, because I thought iTunes radio was just music. Like, you know, you pick a couple songs you like and then it says, okay, here's about 11 songs you're going to like.
Yeah, that's weird.
Want to buy them?
Oscar from Iceland finishes out today by saying, hello, Sochi and Beijing.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised we haven't heard that in 2 weeks.
Right,
crazy. The usage of per capita, here's another stats thing, to find out who's doing the best of the Olympics can be both good and bad. The confidence interval of per capita statistic can't be good when the pool of medals is very low. The lower confidence interval, the more skewed the results become. Even with 4 medals a nation, the per capita result can be skewed by at least plus or minus 50%. I understand now what he means. However, when I first read this, I wasn't sure. However, when the medal pool becomes higher, the more telling the results are. If we were to compare the UK to the US, who have a large pool of both people and medals, it would give as much or more realistic view on the two nations' emphasis on winning medals at the Olympics. With all of that in mind, there is one more thing that needs to be accounted for. Every nation can only send a limited amount of competitors per sport, which hampers nations who have more capable athletes, statistically speaking, anyway. That makes a lot of sense. Because you can't send 9,000 people to snowboard. You can only send whatever the limit is, even though we may have a bunch of other guys who could potentially win golds. Lastly, per capita statistics are not a great tool for seeing patterns such as murders per capita, infant mortality rates, or GDP per capita, to name a few. Not so much to find out who's the greatest at the Olympics. Love the show, though. Oscar from Iceland. I got to say this about Icelandic listeners. He's not the first. Many, many super smart people tend to email us from that country, and I don't know what's going on there. Highly educated, super smart, well-thinking people. I don't know what it is. Iceland's got it going on.
That's
Iceland.
That's awesome.
Everything is Iceland. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. And Brecky, like, we've had him on other shows and stuff. He was on Current Geek the other week. He's another guy from there who's just a brilliant dude. I don't know what's going on with these guys. They're just all smart.
Nice.
I feel dumb when I'm around the Icelandic. That's it. We're done. That is really it. That's it. Tomorrow we'll hear from the king and the queen or whatever.
Not tomorrow, looks like. They are in the military, and they're going to have training during showtime tomorrow. So we're gonna work it out. We're going
to
figure it out.
Okay, because I would love to talk to them. That would be great. But I don't know what's going on with their thing. Their Skype account may be something blocked, or I don't know what's going on there. We'll figure it out. That's it. Let's get out of here. AlphaGeekRadio.com did our shoutcast stream today. Big thanks to them, as always. Scott Fletcher did our voice bumpers. Today's theme was by Eric Van Skyhawk. Usually it's by Rob Gabers. You'll probably hear that tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the Tom and Nicole Hour. They'll be here to do their segments. And
the Tom and Nicole Variety Show.
That's right. Frogpants.com/TMS is where you'll find all the goodies of the world. But today we'd really like to point you toward Nerdtacular.com. And specifically toward tickets, if you're interested in being in July's event, go to tiny.cc/nerdtacular. More on that as the time goes on. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com, on Twitter, Morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. That's it. How about you give me a song that I can sing into the wee hours of tonight?
Okay, I shall. Let's see. Brecky. Just had on Current Geek.
Thomason. Yep. Thomason. I knew that.
By the way, great Current Geek this last time with Nicole and
Ayaz.
Ayaz, yes.
It was I agree. Good episode.
Great cranky.
Had a really good time on that.
Okay, so Bricky writes in, says, oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I didn't see you there. It's uncanny how you sneak up on me like that. Stop it. Oh, well, since you're here, I would like to share with the TMS audience what I think must be the best cover of Africa by Toto. It's an often covered song, and I think we've heard it 3 or 4 times already on the morning stream, but one more time can't hurt, right? Right?
Yeah.
The song is on guitar and bass and vocals covered by two men named Mike Massey and Jeff Hall, recorded live as they sing in the Pie Pizzeria in South Jordan, Utah.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of songs that we think we may have played before, this one we actually didn't. We played another song by those two. We played a U2 cover. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Mm. But Breaky points us to this one, and it's excellent. And I don't see any reason why we can't play this one on TMS as well. Plus, it'll make you think fondly of the pie.
Oh, it's so pizzeria good. So good. Utah. Pie is amazing. And it's now, I live like 10 minutes from it. I should just go down
Perfect. I think we're going to Pie before we go up the hill to snowboard. Snowboard. Snowboard.
It's not, they have a pie down there by in the city, and then there's one near me, and that place is amazing. Cool. Really, really good. Anyway.
Excellent. So this one comes from a collection, the same collection that gave us the other one. Mike Massey covers, mostly live, or Massey. I don't know how to pronounce that with the apostrophe over the
I'd say Massey, but I'm not sure either.
Yeah, Mike Massey.
It has an umlaut. No, it's not an umlaut, whatever that is.
It's an e-diresis, I think.
A tilde, I call it.
A tilde. Yeah. No, that's a whole different thing. That's an Enya.
Oh, it's an Enya. Got it.
Not Enya like the singer. Not the Orinoco Flow Enya.
Oh, no. Sorry.
That
was the song. I couldn't get it out.
All right. So how about a cover of Toto's Africa here by Mike Massey?
All right.
From 2012, and that'll be it.
It'll tide you over. Here it is. It's Africa. We'll be back tomorrow. Be there then, please. Bye.
Echoing tonight, she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit winds reflect the stars that guide me toward salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melody. He turned to me as if to say, hurry boy, it's waiting there for you. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. There's nothing that a man or boy could ever do. They grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.